Good morning, friends on the radio. It's 9 o'clock on a Wednesday morning, and it's time to have a conversation on KMUN. This is our live and local call-in show, where we love nothing more than to hear from you, a member of our fine community, about the topic of the week. Thanks so much to Joanne, as always, for taking care of us in the morning. And as she mentioned, today's topic is teaching and learning. So let's do a deep dive. We spend years of our lives in school. Teachers are a primary influence in our lives. And we learn much at school, but just as much from other experiences in our lives. Who taught or mentored you? How did a teacher change your life? For teachers, what prompted you to get into the profession? And how has your journey changed over the years? I've been thinking about some of the more unconventional ways that I have learned things in my life, outside of the classroom or formal education spheres. And one of the things that came to mind was the amount that I learned from some of my favorite comic strips. There is a difference. Comic books are like graphic novels, Spider-Man, Superman. Comic strips are like Garfield, Peanuts, Family Circus. I think the two that were that had the biggest effect on me and that I learned the most from were Calvin and Hobbes and Bloom County. Calvin and Hobbes by Bill Watterson, Bloom County by Berkeley Breathed. And, you know, I just love reflecting on how much, for example, diversity was in Bloom County, and how much they tackled race issues, political issues, all in the context of humor and art. I was so inspired by these comic strip artists that I, for a time, thought I might pursue a career in that field. I love how it blends art and humor and storytelling, and the way it's condensed down into three or four frames a day. So I thought for our icebreaker today, we could talk about what your favorite comic strip was. And so are you a Beetle Bailey fan or a Doonesbury person, or was The Far Side the one that got the giggle out of you? So 503-325-0010 is the number. Help us break the ice on our conversation. Get the phones ringing. There's three open lines. Reed is in the lobby answering your calls and transferring them into the air room for me. Thank you, Reed. And yeah, we're looking forward to hearing from you. So give us a ring and let us know what your favorite comic strip was or is. And then also let's talk about teaching and learning. It's a lifelong process, right? We've all got something to say. So thanks for tuning into the conversation, and I look forward to your calls. Well, Welcome back, and if you're just joining us, it's The Conversation. It's our live and local call-in show, and today's topic is teaching and learning. And our icebreaker is, who's your favorite comic strip artist? We've got our first call of the day. That number, if you're interested in participating, 503-325-0010. Good morning, you are on the air.
Hello, this is Ellawood.
How do you do, sir?
Very well. I didn't have a favorite comic strip growing up because of the lack of weeklies or that kind of newspaper for my access. But for me, it was comic books like Red Ryder, Gene Autry, Flash LaRue, so forth. And it helped me to learn how to read, definitely. It was a big... And inspired me in the drawing as well. And so as I got older, R. Crumb stands out. I think he covered a lot of ground with his stories of all kinds, you know, and he could evoke all emotions. And... sometimes he's a little too gross for the public, you know. But maybe that's why he had to retire in France about 40 years ago. We're coming from Philadelphia. So, on the Mad Magazine was another one. Very educational and inspirational to keep me going on the cartoons. And Jack Davis, Don Martin, and Will Elder, they were when Mad Magazine first came out. My sisters discovered it in one of my cowboy comic books. Will Elder had a super goofy story that was we'd never seen anything like that in comics before, and kind of went by me. But my sisters picked up on it, and that was before Mad Magazine was even published. So he, this cartoonist, was publishing his wacky work. But when I was in high school, my buddies really tuned into Jack Davis, the way he drew, you know. So.
In high school, you say you were into Jack Davis, and that was, he was also an artist, or was he?
He was a cartoonist for Mad.
Oh, okay.
The three big guys were, I think, Will Elder, Don Martin. Oh, and there was a Cuban guy that did a Spy versus Spy. So to me, that's my Hall of Fame for the comics.
Very nice. How about some experiences about either teaching or learning?
Well, that was my teaching and learning.
Okay, good. You're making that connection.
Yeah, definitely.
So most of those are sort of us.
Something like to keep kids going in high school, too. Like you hear about kids committing suicide and everything, and well, if they have good stories and inspirational stories in their own language, like it hits them at the right level, you know.
Right.
A great aid.
Maybe you can confirm this for me, but it seems like most of the ones you named are sort of a satire nature, right? Mad Magazine and R. Crumb and
yeah.
So there was always humor involved.
That was the point, I think.
Yeah, more so than action or adventure or...
Well, when I started with my cowboy comics, that wasn't humor, basically. It was, you know how that is. Gene Autry.
Yeah,
Ed
but
Ryder.
A different approach to teaching life lessons there.
Yeah, but there were, like in the case of Red Ryder, the artist there, Fred Harmon... I still go after those comics. I have to buy them a high price, but don't have a couple. But the artistry there, it's classic. It belongs in a museum next to Rembrandt.
What was the name of that one again?
Fred Harmon, the artist for Red Rider.
Fred Harmon from Red Rider.
Yeah, he drew Red Rider and Little Beaver. His horse's name was Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
He really knew how to draw horses.
Cool.
That taught people how to draw horses.
Mm-hmm. Well, is this your first time calling? You sound like a new voice on the show.
Yeah, it's my first time calling in.
Well, I sure do appreciate you chiming in on the conversation.
Well, it's nice to express, talk to you as well.
Yeah, hopefully you've inspired some folks to take a trip down memory lane with some of those classic comics you mentioned.
Yeah.
No
they
doubt.
Might have their own.
No doubt a lot of it is still very relevant, like all good art is.
Yeah.
Good art and good story.
Thanks so much for a lot of it. But some of it, the early comics.
Yeah, the stuff that really stands the test of time is just wonderful storytelling, no matter what the medium or the presentation.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again for your call, and I hope you have a fantastic day.
Oh, it's been pretty good so far. Thank you.
We're off to a good start. Keep it up. Thanks for calling.
Adios.
Bye. All right. We've got a couple other people on the line here. You were the second to call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hi. Thank you for this interesting topic,
sure.
Both teaching and the comics. But I am really calling for the comics because it just brought up a lot of memories of when I was growing up. And as a child, some of my favorites were, like you mentioned, Family Circus and Peanuts and Blondie and Dagwood. And now I'm in later years, and it's evolved. And while I was raising children, one of my favorites was For Better or For Worse. And that was about a family raising children. And now that I'm kind of out of that stage, oh, I also love Zitz and Raising Children. Zitz is a comic strip that is about a teenage boy and his parents and their views about each other and the struggles.
Yeah, that one's always good. Big fan of Zitz.
Yeah, I love Zitz. And now I love Pickles. I mean, I don't know if everyone's aware of all these because I was just a regular Sunday newspaper reader with the comics always being a part of the section I would be reading. So I do enjoy Pickles now because, you know, the relationship between elders and lifelong partners, it just really speaks to me. And I think Zitz and Pickles and For Better or For Worse are three that really always brought me a laugh or I could really identify with because I thought they were very real and yet funny, touching, you know, had a lot in it for just three or four panels, right?
Yeah, just the simplicity and yet For Better or For Worse was one that I read every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, you know, those storylines track for years and years and years, just three panels a day.
Yeah.
It's just a really interesting form.
Very creative and just so truthful in a lot of ways, whether, you know,
yeah.
It was happy or sad or whatever. But I still enjoy reading the comics. I'm wondering whether or not newspapers will survive, but keeping fingers crossed and still trying to support what I can. But getting a little harder each day because travels and, you know, deliveries and... It just is sometimes a little challenging, but for the most part, I'm hoping it continues. But thank goodness if it doesn't, we still got radio, which I thoroughly enjoy. I enjoy your program. I enjoy everything about KMUN. So
great.
Keep it going. Keep it going. You're doing a great job, Graham.
How about you? Is this your first time calling the show?
It is. It
awesome.
Is, actually. Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thanks. And stay safe, take care, and I'll continue listening.
Great.
Thanks so much.
You too. Bye.
Okay, bye.
And our third caller of the day. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. My name, I'm David from Hammond. My comment, I do like most of the comics that come out in my daily Astorian, but the reason for my call is I'm a retired teacher, and I taught in special ESL programs, and I wanted to say that the, one of the things that I did is I welcomed all professionals to come into my classrooms to critique me, to make me a better teacher, which was very valuable in many different ways. My greatest criticism from other people was the fact that I talked too much. And I have battled that, especially when you're teaching people from many different countries the English language. You need to have them practice. I had to learn the lesson, and it wasn't until I volunteered at Clatsop Community College that I started slowing down my talking a little bit. But also, the, one of the reasons that I called was my enthusiasm towards teaching was also caused people around me, many times strangers, to push me and say, you know, you're really, you like what you do, you're good at it, you should get more education. So I kept going back to Portland State University until I had a TESOL certificate. And but it was the support of these people, and it was my own initiative. The second that you lose a little bit of interest, people detect that.
Mm-hmm.
They turn and they walk away. And you must stay strong, and you have to stay dedicated to your whatever your service is. That's really the only comment I have. And the only other thing on another area, if you don't mind, is I'm a ham radio operator, and I appreciate the emergency setup that KMUN has in responding. Especially since I live out about a half mile from the Pacific Ocean and eight blocks from the Columbia River,
mm-hmm.
Hammond, the Cascadia subduction zone is very alive and well out here. But anyway, thank you for your program, and thank all the volunteers. If I had a lot of money, I would dedicate some to KMUN, and maybe I will in the future. But you guys do a great job, all of you that put your time in. And you can comment to my comments off the air. This is my first time calling in, and I will hang up and let you run your show. And thank you, Graham, for your efforts.
Thank you, Dave. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, that was a very nice call from Dave out in Hammond. We appreciate the opportunity to provide up-to-the-minute news and emergency information when the time comes. And he's right. We live in a very special place, but it's unique for the risks that we take by living so close to the ocean and the river and in a place where there's extreme weather events. And so we happily fulfill that role. Thank you for your appreciation. And I do believe that there is a ham licensing class happening this Friday. So if you'd like more information on that, email me, graham@kmun.org. We have a great relationship with the local ham club, Sunset Empire Amateur Radio Club, and they do lots of, they help us out a ton, and I like to think that we help them out as well. It's a very nice, mutually beneficial relationship that we have with that particular ham group. Well, let's reframe. It's about 20 past the hour. You're listening to The Conversation. My name's Graham. I'm your host. Delighted to be speaking with you today about teaching and learning. And so the question that we're asking and the insights that we're looking for are about your experiences, either as a teacher or as a student or both, Was there someone who mentored you, who left a big impression on your life? Did you learn any valuable life lessons through unconventional means, say comic strip books or, comic strips or comic books? And that also just so happens to be our icebreaker today. So if you want to help us keep the conversation flowing, please call 503-325-0010. And Reed will patch you through to the air room, and we'll keep this conversation going about teaching and learning. If we can cut back to the comics, the reason I was inspired to use that as an icebreaker today is because my two favorite comics are being mashed up right now. So Berkeley Breathed, who was the author and artist of Bloom County and Opus and Outland, he's been posting new comics every day online. Facebook and Instagram is how I see them. And he's got Hobbs showing up in the comic. And I think it's only Opus that can see the living Hobbs. Everyone else sees him as the stuffed tiger, and they're looking for the middle-aged Calvin. And it's big news because they did just find him. It's pretty good. If you're into that kind of stuff, I suggest you look it up. But if you'd like to call in and talk about what your favorite comic strip was, 503-325-0010. We can, of course, talk about comic books or other magazines and things. We had a Mad Magazine fan. We had a fan of some of the Gene Autry Red Rider type stuff. R-Crumb came up. And we'd like to hear from you now. We've had all first-time callers today. That's kind of fun and special and exciting. I sure appreciate that. We love hearing from the regulars too, so don't hesitate to give us a call. We've got three open lines right now. I'm just kind of spinning my gears. I'm propping up this conversation all by my lonesome here. So do give us a ring, 503-325-0010. While we wait for your calls, here's a little Stevie Wonder. Higher Ground by Stevie Wonder. Welcome back to the conversation. We're talking about teaching and learning today, and our icebreaker is about your favorite comics. Comic strips, comic books, graphic novels. And we do have a caller. Good morning. You're on the air.
Well, good morning. How are you this morning, Graham?
I'm feeling good. How about you? Who's this?
Richard. I did have a question also. I stepped outside to let the dog out, and I came back in about ham radio something.
Oh, yep. We just had a caller who appreciated our emergency communication services, and he's a ham operator, and I was just mentioning that we work with the local ham club a lot. They help us out a lot, and there is a ham license class on Friday. If you're interested, you can email me, graham@kmun, and I will get you those details.
Got it. I will do that.
Are you a ham operator?
No, but my second cousin has broadcast a long time from the Hill in Ridgefield on top of the hill. So, he's been after me for a long time to get something done with that. Also, people that are in the Seaside area and my neighbor at the bottom of the hill have been after me. So,
well, I'm gonna pull up this info right now since there is some interest. So the ham class, the amateur radio class, where you can get your ham license, it's a free class. It's taught by certified instructors. There is a $15 fee for the FCC license and the test. And that's July 23rd and 24th. So that's Friday from 6 to 9 and Saturday 9 to 5. And that's at CMH Coho Room at the OHS or at the OSU Seafood Center. And Mike Gore is teaching the class today. So like I said, I can give you more information either over email or give us a call at the station.
And we'll hook you up. I'll be glad to do that. That's fine. So my icebreaker this morning is Dagwood. You know, it's amazing how that man never changes things over the years.
Right. That's been a long runner, hasn't it?
Yeah. You know, I've had seen historic pictures in how he dealt with his family and the situations. And then I grew up and saw some of my same family situations played out in that. So it was kind of good. And it's kind of an ongoing constant, I guess, is the word I would use. So.
Yeah, I'm doing a quick look, and that comic strip started September 8th, 1930.
Yeah. So long before I was around.
Yeah. Me as well.
And mentorship, I always, I don't know, mentorship usually for me comes from coming from a stance, whether I'm enlisted in the military or whether I'm new on the job, I kind of notice there are certain people that they're not always the more prominent people or the loudest people in an organization, but the people that are somewhat quiet will sit back and listen, and I try to seek them out when I'm doing that. So I like to have a mentor in my position, whether it be work or volunteer. So.
Yeah, that's an interesting point about he who speaks the loudest and the most often is not necessarily the one most worth listening to.
That's absolutely correct. Yes, sir.
And did you say you served in the military?
Yeah, I was. I had a draft number of 3 in '69, and so I felt that the Marine Corps, if I'd gotten drafted, it would have been Army and 7 weeks of basic, and so I picked the Marines. Oh, and I couldn't get in the Navy; there was a waiting list for that, and mm-hmm. So the Marine Corps recruiter says, we can help you that. And I appreciated that. I served 3 years.
And you found a good mentor while you were there serving?
Oh, yes. Several. One being a very athletic gunnery sergeant who loved to get out at 5 in the morning and run. But he also would come back in and listen, and as I tried to do my job as a supply person, and then he would be quieter. But I kind of had to go. I kind of had to go both ways. I'd have to go running with him too. So,
and do you think that you have ever filled the role of a mentor for someone else?
I try to. I try to do that with the high school kids that I work with,
in Key Club and things, but I'm hoping that they sometimes remember that. I would hope they would. Anyway.
Oh, I bet you do a fine job. I bet they remember you very well.
All right. Well, thank you, Graham. I appreciate that. And and the other thing I wanted to tell you, this latest issue of The Current is excellent.
Oh, good.
You guys, it continues to improve each and every time, and I really like that. And it's a good way to communicate, so keep it up.
We sure will. Thanks for that.
Yeah, have a good morning.
Good. You too. Bye.
Bye.
Looks like we've got a couple of other callers waiting in the queue. You were the second to call. Good morning. You are on the air.
Good morning, Graham. This is Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, like your last caller, I did 3 years in the Marine Corps, too, and I was before Vietnam, but it was still interesting. I got to go overseas to Japan, Okinawa, and Taiwan for the 13 months I was overseas, so that was quite an experience for a young man. My favorite comic strip currently, well, Calvin Hobbes is just a given. Stephen Pastis has that Pearls Before Swine.
Yeah.
He touches on some really interesting issues in there. My extended family is of mixed race, and he recently did a series in his comic strip with the crocodiles who are always hunting the zebras, the zebra neighbor.
Right.
And the zebra is smarter than the crocodile, is always able to keep away from it and all that stuff, even though they're neighbors. And a little while ago, there was a series of in that strip where a young zebra had come to visit his aunt. Or she had come to visit family members from somewhere else. And the little crocodile and this little zebra had a crush on one another. They were like little kids, but they really liked each other, and they would hug when they get a chance. And one of the strips, the little crocodile brought the little zebra in to meet his father. It says he's going on a date, and his father says something like, I say, well, you already got your meal with you or something like that. And then the little crocodile was telling the little zebra that I've got to really work with my dad here on this, you know. So, but it really brought up the mixed race thing in a very positive light, I thought, about how the difficulties can be. And I thought he did a really excellent job of presenting that whole issue.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting how something like the comics can explore heavy-duty topics through these very sort of simple lenses.
Absolutely. You know, and as far as education goes, I was a rather late bloomer. I started college at 38 and graduated at 41 with a degree in nursing and spent the rest of my career working in hospitals in Oregon, Washington, Hawaii, and Alaska for the last 19 years until I retired. But it was wonderful. I didn't like high school. The only reason I graduated at all was my father and myself and the vice principal, who was also a former Marine, kind of ganged up on my senior lit teacher to convince her to give me a D minus rather than the F that I had so rightly deserved. Because I was already committed to the Marine Corps. And so that's how I finished my high school. Then 20 years later, I went to college. I absolutely aced it, and out of a class of 28, I was the second academically. I almost changed my major to education. The reason I stayed with nursing was because the ability to move around and go where you wanted, when you wanted, and have a job when you got there. And that held true for me. When I got to Hawaii, I had looked ahead, excuse me, and I had my nursing license, figured out what to do over there. I got there on a Wednesday and went to work on a Thursday morning. So the same when I moved to Alaska, I had all my paperwork in order and got there and had a job basically waiting for me. So that's the education part of it and the comic book part of it. And so,
well, it sounds like it's never, it's always a good time to change your trajectory and pursue education. If it's your path, it doesn't matter what your age is or what you did before.
And then my last major event that was really fun education-wise was signing up for the programmer class at KMUN.
Yeah, there you go.
And, I did that for off and on for about 5 years, I guess. And that was wonderful. I really enjoyed the experience. I was on the air something like 100 times. But it was wonderfully fun, I would fancy a feather in my cap.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, and it's good that you had those advocates on your team when you were graduating high school as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, indeed. Well, anyway, with that in mind, I'll let you go. I'm sure other callers want to talk to you. So.
All right. Thanks for calling, Jim.
Yeah, Graham.
Absolutely. Bye.
Bye now.
And we do have one other caller on the line. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Graham. This is Steve.
Hello, Steve.
How are you doing today?
I'm feeling good. It's a beautiful day. What about you?
Great. I find it interesting that you brought up both Calvin and Hobbes and Opus, two that I really love. But I wanted to tell you something about Calvin and Hobbes. I think Waterman was really clever in picking that title, because Calvin was a rational sort of thinking person, and Hobbes was more or less the father of existentialism.
Uh-huh.
So you have Calvin, who's human, right, and then his pretend animal, Hobbes, is a great example of existentialism.
Mm-hmm.
Existentialism is in sort of like a summary. Do you really exist, Graham, or are you a figment of my imagination that I, you know, to have meaning in life, I created you somehow? And I'm not really talking to you at the telephone.
Well, maybe it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, maybe. But anyway, I thought that's an interesting aspect of Calvin and Hobbes. And I really enjoy that comic strip for sure.
Yeah, one of the fun things about it, thinking in terms of philosophy as well, is just how much time they spent out in the woods. You know, there was plenty of jokes and things that took place in the house or at school or the dad's work or whatever, but you know, a lot of the really exploratory stuff was when they were just out in the woods.
Yeah.
We should all be so lucky to have woods to romp around in when we're kids, I suppose.
Yeah, and maybe a little friend like Hobbes.
Absolutely.
Helps us out too.
Yeah.
Well, that was what was on my mind today. I really enjoy your program.
All right. Thanks for calling, Steve.
Yeah. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Yeah, Calvin and Hobbes. It was many years of reading it before I realized that those were names of modern philosophers. Puts a new spin on the whole deal. I liked that one of the callers mentioned Pearls Before Swine. That is a very good comic, very funny. And another one that comes to mind is Bizarro right now. Some really clever and interesting things in that comic book, Non Sequitur. It's challenging enough to make a joke or write a story in three or four frames, but in a single frame, you know, you got to give it up to Gary Larson and The Far Side for a single frame joke. I mean, that's just, it's got to be so hard. And don't tell me you didn't have a 365-day Farside calendar on your desk at some point. I was pretty devoted to those. 503-325-0010 is the number to call if you'd like to join our conversation. Today we are talking about teaching and learning, mentorship. How about some life-changing experiences where you grasp some new skill or what got you into teaching? This is a broad topic, and we can always digress, as you know. So do give us a call, 503-325-0010. And don't forget to break the ice by telling us what your favorite comic strip is. Comic books are also on the table. That number again is 503-325-0010. And if you were listening earlier and you heard mention of the ham radio class, I just want to remind you that that's happening this Friday and Saturday. It's taught by Mike Gore from the Sunset Empire Amateur Radio Club. He's a licensed teacher. The class is free. There is a fee for the FCC license, but it is minimal. and it's a lot of fun. I've got my ham license, and so do a lot of the folks in this radio community. And it's a good thing to do when you're out in these rural areas where emergencies do happen and utilities do go down a couple times a year, it seems. Plus, it's fun, and it's a nice community of folks. So if you'd like more information about that, you can email me, graham@kmun.org. Or you can, gosh, I had a call coming through. I hope I didn't drop it. Or you can call 503-325-0010 once the show is over, and I'll get you that information. And it looks like we've got someone on the line. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, Graham. It's Bonnie.
Well, hi, Bonnie.
How are you?
I'm hanging in there. How about you?
Good. I'm just...
My answer to that question is going to get more and more honest the more people ask it today.
Well, I'm on the road, but I just tuned in maybe about 10, 15 minutes ago, but I just wanted to put a shout-out to all the teachers, because of your subject matter today, all the teachers, the grandparents, the families that pulled together to educate our children this year. It has been such an amazing, you know, challenge to keep these kids plugged in,
yeah,
and get them through this last horrible year and a half. And the kids are the ones who've really, really suffered. And I, as a grandparent, I became the one who was homeschooling two grandchildren in two separate bedrooms. And, you know, it was, and there was aunts and uncles involved, and my sister, who was a math teacher, she got involved because my older grandson was kind of flailing with algebra, and she, you know, we took pictures of his problems, and we sent them to her on her, texted them to her, and she would say, okay, let's do this. And I mean, it was amazing how we all hung together on this, you know, getting these kids through this year. It was pretty awful. But I'm hoping with this new variant, with the Delta variant that we're having, that we do not close school again this fall. I am panicked about that. So,
yeah.
Anyway, that's my comment. I want to congratulate everybody that was involved in keeping these kids educated this past year. It's been a real challenge.
Well said. So, I'm standing up and applauding. It's a standing ovation
good.
From me for the teachers and the parents and the
standing
grandparents.
Standing ovation
that's
for
right.
everybody, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank
okay.
you so much for making
that's
that point,
it.
Bonnie.
That's my comment.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Graham. I'm back in traffic, so I got to go.
All right, take care.
And okay,
drive
bye-bye.
Safely. Bye. 503-325-0010 is the number to call if you'd like to join the conversation, and I hope you would like to join the conversation. We're discussing teaching and learning today, and how a teacher has changed your life, or have you had an experience with a mentor, or did you learn something important in an unconventional way? 503-325-0010. Looking forward to hearing from you. Here's Teacher by Jethro Tull while we're waiting for that phone to ring. Oh, the calls are coming in. That was Teacher by Jethro Tull. And here's something that I received over text. I recently heard someone talk about a teacher constantly reminding their students to not take his word for it, which I think is maybe one of the most important lessons we can learn, both because of the respect it shows to the students that they can do their own research, and to instill in them that adults are fallible and information can be corrupted. It seems like we've lost this sense as a culture, and I'd put money on it being a direct result of both the focus on testing and the lack of variety in viewpoints chosen for mass-produced textbooks. I didn't have anyone say that to me until I was in college, and I'm curious how different my education would have been if I'd been empowered to think more critically earlier on. Critical thinking skills, folks. I didn't learn those until college either, and it's kind of mind-blowing. How about you? Was there something that that you didn't learn until much later on that you thought would have made sense to learn sooner? I know some of the things that I learned in Intro to Philosophy I could have probably made use of as a kindergartner. But let's get to some of these callers. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello, is this me?
That's you. Yes, please. Go
Hi,
ahead.
Hi, Caleb. Good morning.
Hey.
I appreciate your show.
Great.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I think K through 12 was pretty much a joke. There were some great teachers who thought they were doing a great job, you know, and but I think overall it was just kind of a propaganda machine to make us good little obedient, non-questioning people. But I think by the time I got to college, though, I finally, you know, was introduced to critical thinking and all sorts of great things in college. Not to say all college was great, but that's my two cents.
Yeah, well, I think you make a very fine point.
Okay, thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks for the call.
Hey, bye.
Short and sweet. Sounded like a new caller. Can't be sure, but I appreciate everyone who chimes in on these conversations very much. There wouldn't be a show without you. 503-325-0010. It looks like I've got a caller on line two. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm not going to ask you how you're doing.
we don't want...
You know, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's okay.
I would think the Lone Ranger and his sidekick, Tonto.
Uh-huh.
And his horse named Silver. Hi-oh, Silver away. I mean, what? It would give kids a goosebump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the cowboy culture was so strong in America.
Oh, he was a really good guy, too. You know, he got the bad guys, and he put them in behind bars, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
You know, for a kid, you're going, wow, what can't this guy do? Yeah.
Do you think that there was anything fallible about it, or do you think that was 100% good stuff all the way through and through?
I don't understand fallible. What does that mean?
Oh, just... If we're all fallible, it means like even if you're good at something, you still have a weakness or something like that.
Well, isn't that the way it is?
Yeah, I think so.
Just when you think you got it made, you know, you're riding high in April and shot down in May.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the text I read where the teacher said, "Don't trust me. Do your own, you know, do your own research on this."
I tell you, my hat's off to anyone who wants to enter. Public education, or private education.
Indeed.
Education is, as a general rule, is so challenging. And now, how do you even pinpoint what it's so varied and so vast? I mean, there's so many tentacles out that represent the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we need to be paying teachers a lot more.
And then another one was, and I hope the listening audience appreciates the fact that I grew up with about 6 to 8 TV channels, and then they went off at midnight and then came back on at 6 in the morning. And we didn't have videos. We didn't have, there was no phone, of course not. There was no, you know, none of the things that just blows people away now. They think you're pretty primitive, you know, they had to deal with that.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah, KMUN wasn't on the air 24 hours a day when we first started.
Is that right?
But
I didn't know
we are now.
How about that? No, I've been a constant listener. I'm a local boy. I grew up here. The Lone Ranger, and then, you know, The Far Side. The Far Side is just a trip. I remember one quick one, and it's I think it's humorous, but yet an awakening. It's solve all your problems here, a huge sign, and a little guy in a trench coat and stuff, and there's a gate. And, well, of course, these people are going to walk off a cliff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love how he makes human problems into animal problems.
He reminded me, you know what, you mentioned something earlier in your program about cartoons are a reflection of us and what is and what possibly could be, and then, of course, the past.
Mm-hmm.
Cartoons are actually a vision, I think they are.
Mm.
They op- open us up. You know, the old horses and the mules used to draw the carts downtown and all that, and they had the blinders on, so it didn't spook them.
Right.
Well, I think a lot of people have blinders on, and we need to take them off so we can get a good look.
Yeah, and I'm not sure comic books are the answer, but...
Well, no, comics are like a relief to us, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to... And then you said mentioned mentors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was... I've just got out of high school, and Job Corps had showed up at Tongue Point, and I thought that was the best thing in the West, because a lot of people, to them, high school is 3 years. You're wasting your time. You're not going to have any kinds of talent, no skills. And these people have got a head start on you.
Yeah.
You know, welding and in the sea industry. I mean, what can't you do, you know? And I thought that was such a cool thing to think about. And most education, you don't even know. You can. I've sat in classrooms such as you, and until you put a nail and a hammer in your hand, you have no idea what it sounds like, what it smells like, and what it feels like.
Yeah.
Can't learn that in a classroom.
Right. Can't learn it from a book.
No, it's true. So I just thank you for an interesting program, and I just hope everybody, you know, cheers to everybody. Let's try to get some positive stuff done.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Graham.
And let's finish out the show with an interview with Gwendolyn Martin. She spent most of her career in teaching, both in classrooms and in libraries, and she recently spoke with KMUN's Kathleen Morgane. And here's that story. Here's that interview.
Gwendolyn Martin is a retired teacher who began in a small district classroom in the U.S., then moved on to international schools and librarianship. She shared some of her experiences in a telephone conversation a few days ago.
I'm Gwen Martin, and I am a retired teacher and have been retired for about 5 years.
You've had decades of experience in the profession of teaching. How has it changed over the years?
Well, I started out in a very small district, quite a poor little district. We had self-contained classrooms, no specialists, no music, no art, no PE. So we had to do it all then. That certainly meant that those of us that taught in those kind of schools had to be creative about finding ways to teach topics that really weren't our long suit. For instance, my ability to teach music is pretty limited. Certainly over the years, things have changed. Curriculum has changed. The concept of team teaching came in while I was teaching. Collaborative teaching, collaborative learning came in. I was still teaching when the states got the core curriculum. By that time, when that came in, I was teaching overseas, and each school really had its own curriculum, but it was kind of based on American curriculum, but not necessarily consistent from one international school to the other.
What gave you the idea to search for international teaching?
I had friends that had already gone out to do it. My friend Nancy had started out with a six-month teaching gig in Puerto Vallarta and then Addis Ababa in Ethiopia. In 1991, I went to Bogota, Colombia, kind of wanting to get in the game. So a lot of my friends doing it, and so I lurched ahead.
What prompted you to leave American schools behind?
Well, I think the lure of living overseas, being able to have adventures in places that I would never have gone or never been able to afford to visit was part of it. Also, my friends that were teaching overseas talked about how teachers were more respected at that time and a lot of parental backing and the possibility of earning some good money and just having an impact in a different way than in the States.
And your experience of teaching in the States and teaching overseas, what differences did you find?
Well, when I first went out, I was a classroom teacher. The big thing then was that international schools had much smaller class sizes. You know, that's always a big help. Instead of having 25 or 28 in the classroom, we had got started out in second grade, I think I had like 20, and I had a full-time assistant, which was unheard of in the States at that time. Discipline was certainly easier. Keep in mind that these are private schools where parents or corporations are paying big bucks. So they're much more likely to have an impact on how their kids behave or the goals they have for their children.
And then you started out as a classroom teacher, but you made a switch. Can you talk about that a bit?
Well, when I came back to the States, I was having a hard time finding a teaching job. So I started subbing, and I have a endorsement on my certificate for library media specialist. And when I was called to sub, I was called to sub in the Federal Way District in libraries. And I really liked it. And so when and I did a long-term sub job, I subbed from December to the end of the year. And the next year, I got a full-time library position in the Federal Way School District. Found that I really, really enjoyed that. So the remainder of my career was in the library.
What did you enjoy most about international teaching?
Oh, that's a good question. Tough question, actually. One of the best things about teaching overseas is the opportunity to see a country and or surrounding countries on a longer basis, not just a two-week holiday, really, and get to know the people that live in that country and kind of more in depth. You know, you visit places that maybe tourists don't. So that was certainly one of the major benefits. The other part of that is that you had more of a voice, I think, in a lot of the teaching decisions in some of the smaller districts that I was in. The camaraderie with the teachers. There were some expats, as I was. There were local hire teachers there from each country. So you really got to know the people, which was the best part.
If a U.S. teacher were interested in international teaching, or if anyone was interested in getting into that field, what advice would you give them?
I would say go for it. And particularly a lot of times people will say that have children will say, oh, I'll go when my children graduate. Well, I would say don't wait. Take your children with you. The opportunity for the kids to learn or meet children from different backgrounds really changes them in a way, makes them more of a international or a global person, respecting different cultures. When I was in Shanghai, at Shanghai American School, we had about 73 different nationalities. It's always uplifting to see that those kids from all those different backgrounds come together and learn and enjoy one another.
Are there practical steps that someone could take to get on that ladder?
If you have experience in a classroom now, that's all, they always look for people that already have been teaching. There are several different companies that help get teaching jobs. International School Services, Search Associates, and the University of Iowa has a job fair every year in Iowa. That's still pretty popular, I think. Now, mind you, now I haven't been to a job fair in 5 years, so things might have gone differently. What is different about that is most people used to go to the job fairs. They have job fairs all around the world, and wherever you're closest to really is the one you would go to. The advantage of using ISS or Search or Iowa, and ISS and Search are the two big ones now, is you send in all your documents and they open a file for you, and you send in all your transcripts and you get blind references and you fill out all the forms about where you've lived and all of that. And then as superintendents are looking for a particular person, they can type that in, and if your name comes up, they can review all of your stuff. You don't have to just keep sending it out to different districts like you do here.